Hey there, welcome to another episode of Bonsai Stuff Podcast by me, Scott Martin from Bonsai Matu in Melbourne, Australia, where it's currently the depths of winter. It's freezing, so we're certainly in dormancy period at the moment, and it's probably never been a busier time, to be honest. What have we been up to lately? Well, with the current global situation with COVID-19, thank you very much. Lots of Zoom sessions, which I didn't know what Zoom was about 3 months ago, but now there's been lots of online sessions with bonsai enthusiasts, also lots with family and friends. And if someone had told me at Christmas, I'd be telling my mum I loved her via a video hookup, I'd tell them that they were dreaming. But anyway, what else have we been doing? Lots of needle plucking, because it's just coming towards the end of the black pine or pine season here during the autumn winter cleanup that they have. I've also done winter spray, which I've had lots of questions about. I use during the dormancy period lime sulfur solution mixed to the instructions as per the supplier's demands. So I don't make a special concoction. I do it exactly as instructed, as I would recommend everybody does with any of their sprays that they use. They're tried and tested for a reason, so don't go messing with a known formula, I don't think. And what else have we been doing? It's the tail end of dormancy, so it means that we're about to get into repotting season. So there's generally about a week's break for me between finishing cleaning up pines to when I have to start thinking about preparing the pots for repotting. But I've also been doing a lot of soil preparation. So soil mix I use is pretty basic. It's pretty good. It's a pumice, scoria, and pine nugget mix, which I find works really well for me. Of course, you need to work out what's going to work for you best. It's a really touchy subject, but I've found that that all of my trees, my natives, my pines, everything pretty much goes into that mix. Pumice is great. Scoria is fantastic as well. Pine nugget breaks down a little bit, but I find the trees aren't in the pot long enough for it to have any kind of disastrous effect. And the trees grow really well. And it links very nicely with my watering and feeding regimes that I use, and provides the trees the moisture retention that they need, and also the air spacing for the roots to grow quite vigorously. So I like it. I think it works really well. It works for me. And as I said, it's something that you'll have to check for yourself. I tell you what, the seasons go fast when you're heavily into bonsai. It's amazing how quickly time can fly when there's work to be done on trees. When you have a few, it's different, but when you have a lot of trees and they all have their seasonal work that needs to get done, the season zip past. Autumn came and went in the blink of an eye, and everything was done and everything looks great in the yard. It's certainly one of those things that, you know, you really need to commit to, because missing what needs to be done when it needs to be done can set you back and set your trees back quite a way as well. And it's not something that can always wait. You can't always say, I'll get to that next year, because next year's possibly too late. It's like we're coming into repotting now, and you really need to be mindful that trees that aren't repotted that really should be repotted can be set back a long way with their health. The water flow doesn't happen for the roots, so therefore the roots don't develop like they should. The fertilizer uptake isn't there, therefore when it gets to spring, probably don't grow as hard as what they possibly should. Trees then start getting into a weaker cycle. Pest, disease, that sort of thing start to affect the trees. Your trees get weaker, they get flogged during summer as well, because they don't have the roots there to support the structure that they've got. And you're looking at autumn next year, where you've got a bit of dieback coming on the branches, and you try and put your finger back to what was the root cause of your problems. It's the bugs, it's the heat, it's lack of water, it's whatever. It's not. It's because repotting wasn't done. So that applies to almost every piece of work that needs to be done with your trees, you need to stay on top of it and plan for it accordingly. So always have as many trees as what you can manage. You know, there's no point getting a couple of thousand trees if you can only work on 50. So you're better off having 50 trees that are in peak condition, that look fantastic, that really put a smile on your dial, that you want to have in your yard, that your family want to see in your yard, that you're proud to show to your family and friends, than a yard full of things in pots that you'll just never get to, that you'll never ever have the time for. So, you know, it's really important to plan out your time going forward with bonsai and make sure that you give it everything. You do it perfectly. You know, it's not one of those things that you give 80% to. You give 100% to it, if not more, as much as you possibly can. And it's all about fine tuning. It's all about refining techniques and not looking at past mistakes negatively, but looking at past mistakes and learning from them and making sure that they get better. You'll find that the trees, well, I have, that the trees are very forgiving to a certain point. You know, there's obviously a tipping point where things go too far and you may lose the tree, but to a certain point, they're very forgiving and they'll roll with the punches and they'll show you when things work, but they'll also show you when things don't work, so you can fine-tune, you can adapt, you can seek help, you can maybe get things right. You know, it's a slow moving beast, the tree. It's not very rarely is it something that'll happen overnight, but it's something that does happen. It's the spiral staircase. You know, things either get stronger and go up the staircase slowly, step by step, or they get weaker and go down the spiral staircase. So you can often arrest wherever it's at and start to turn the corner and bring it around by doing something different, you know. And as I always say, I think the primary focus of anyone with good bonsai should be the roots. If you can get a really good root structure, then you can build a solid tree on top of that. If you've got poor roots and you focus purely on design or structuring, then you'll find out the hard way that's never going to work. You know, you'll battle or look good when you first initially style it, but then something will happen. There'll be dieback there. There won't be growth. It'll get too strong. The lower branches will get weaker. You know, really common stuff. And you'll find that, you probably kick yourself 2-3 years down the track thinking, you know, when you repot it and you take it out and you find that there's maybe root rot or there's dead roots or that, you know, patches of them haven't grown as well as what they should have, and there's not the fine feeder roots that we love, that you're paying the price for it now. And that's bonsai. That's how it goes. When you are working with your bonsai, I like to think in the back of my head, it's not for now, it's for later. You know, you hear it all the time that bonsai is never finished. It's an evolving art form. It's, you know, whatever. I agree with all that. And I think that every time you work on a tree, it's not for instant gratification or success. It's for something that's going to happen in the future. You know, I was just talking about repotting, and you work on the roots of the tree not because when spring comes this year it's going to jump out of its skin, but for 3 years down the track when the growth has over doubled and you've got far more ramification than what you've got presently, and you're trying to feed nutrients to tips of branches which have, you know, doubled, tripled, you know. And you want to make sure that you've got the base, the foundation set that can support that tree. That's now. That's what you're doing now. You're repotting correctly. You're not rushing it. You're making sure that you get the top quality soil. You do the techniques right. You tie the tree in properly. Everything's done to the best that you possibly can. So 3 years down the track, when that tree is absolutely booming, you can look backwards and say, what didn't I do? You can look backwards and say, well, what did I do? What did I do different this time with this tree to make it much better than what it was 3 years before that? And invariably, it's going to come back to repotting. It's going to come back to the skill that you've used or the techniques that you've used when you've repotted that tree a long time ago. And it pays dividends for you all the time. Another thing I work you know, with working on so many black pines, one, you know, lots of sap on my fingers, but secondly, every time I was working on the trees, I'd think about proportion and size of the tree and make sure that everything was correct as well. And this, you know, not for now, for later approach, I was thinking about decandling the pines as well, because, you know, I'm going to focus on pines a little bit with this podcast, but that's because I've done so many that I'm seeing them in my sleep. I'm seeing needle plucking left, right, and center. But, you know, when I look at the needle length of the new buds that have grown since I've decandled, I've looked and gone, okay, well, so for that size tree, it's, you know, 25 centimeters. The needles are, you know, probably 2.5 centimeters long. Is that the correct proportion for that tree? Okay, so if it's not, if I need to reduce the needles or make them a little bit longer, how do I do that? And I think about, okay, so what I did previously was when I did that on X date. Okay, so if I want shorter needles, I need to do it a couple of days later than that next time, next year, to make sure that the needles don't grow quite as long as what they did. So there, I'm thinking about, you know, something that's going to happen in, you know, 9 months' time now. And when I do it in 9 months' time, I won't see the results of it for another 6 months when I work on the tree again. So it's, well, it seems like it's a slow process. I go back to what I was saying, the seasons go so fast in bonsai, because, you know, in life, maybe not so. When, you know, when there's hard times, maybe time doesn't go quite as fast as what it does when you're working on trees. But, you know, it seems to be that a blink of an eye, I'm working on plucking needles and bud selecting and wiring the trees in autumn and winter. Next thing I know, I'm decandling them in summer, cleaning them up, putting them back on the bench. Next thing I know, I'm blinked again, and that same tree is back in front of me, and I'm looking at the results of something that was done, you know, the year before. It's really, really, really weird how fast things can happen. But proportion with your bonsai is something that needs to be a primary focus. And proportion of your branch length, your trunk thickness, your pot size, everything's got to fall into, you know, some sort of scale. And, you know, that's a common one I'm getting asked at the moment from people. You know, what size pot should I get from a tree when I'm repotting it? And I use a general ballpark or a guide of, you know, depending on what stage the tree is at, of course. But my pots that I focus on for my bonsais are generally about 2/3 the width of the bonsai itself. So I always have the tree being bigger than what the pot is that's holding it. The simple approach or simple reasoning I have for that is that I like the tree to look significant when it's in the pot. I don't want the tree to look like it's swimming in a big pot. I want the tree to be the standout and then look at the beautiful pot that's being contained in as well. And, you know, I don't mind paying for good pots, because good pots last. You know, rubbish pots, the cheap, nasty ones, they serve a purpose, but sooner or later you're going to be replacing it anyway. So I'd rather put a few extra bucks into a decent pot earlier and enjoy that pot for a long time, because your evolution with bonsai is as you move from, you know, focusing solely on the tree and how good the tree looks, you move towards, you know, okay, well, what's holding the tree? And then that's got to be of equal class to the tree itself. And it actually frames the tree in such a way that, you know, it makes it far more appealing than if you just threw it into anything. You know, if you're going to put a bonsai into anything, keep it in a plastic pot. You know, really, you don't need to put it into a fired pot that's from, you know, a bulk produced one from China. But, you know, I think that, you know, there's so many good pot makers around, you know, locals. You know, anywhere you are around the world, you'll find that there's great pot makers, and they're really starting to shine, as I've mentioned before in other podcasts. But, you know, I think that investing money into a good pot is money well spent, because you will always have that pot, regardless if it stays with that tree or it moves to another one somewhere down the track, or if it even has a break on the shelf for a couple of years while something else develops and grows into it. You know, pots don't need to be fed. They don't need to be watered. They can be put into a dark little place somewhere in a cupboard and stored until the right time comes. You don't always need to have them out on display. So I think pots are great. But, yeah, proportion of your pot to your tree, to your branches, to your needles, to your leaf, to everything should be a primary focus for everyone when they're working with their bonsai. Now, I want to talk about something which I've found isn't always a focus when you're looking and working with your bonsais. It's the importance of air and airflow and air movement around your trees. I hinted that I was going to cover this last podcast, but it's something that's really important, and I've had this in the back of my mind. And when I've been working on my pines, I've seen the impact of it, where you don't have the airflow that you need around trees and what the impact can be. So it's something that needs to be as important for you as sunlight to your trees, because jamming trees together on a bench where they can't get, necessarily sunlight, but they can't get the airflow around them as well, can have impacts negatively on the branching and ramification of your trees, where you'll get dieback on the tips, or things don't grow quite as well as what they should, and ultimately it'll lead to that branch dying. You'll see it a lot where you've got trees that are maybe in corners, or they're close to another bench that's behind them that's maybe raised a little bit higher. If you've got as many trees as what I've got, something like 400 or something in the yard, you can't go and rotate all of your trees all of the time, because you just spend all day, every day rotating trees. So it's really important with your positioning of your trees that you allow for the tree to stand on its own two feet and have distance either side of it as well. Putting them on balconies and stuff like that, because that's the only place you can put them. That's what you have to do. But you need to make sure that you're not putting them too close to walls or too close to other obstacles that's going to stop that air circulation and airflow around the tree. It's really important, fungal spores come in and land on the trees, and the only way really that they go is with air movement. So keeping a tree in a static position that's not going to get air movement around it can lead to further issues down the track, and that compounds things when, like we were talking about before with, repotting and stuff like that. If your tree's in a weakened position and then something like this happens to it, it might be the tipping point that I talked about, where the tree can't recover because something, gets into it and it can't fight it anymore, and it's just too weak. So I think that airflow and air movement for the tree is really super important, and number of trees that you have needs to be reflected to the space that you've got. Having 1,000 trees, as I said, sitting in the backyard somewhere all stuffed together, they're not going to grow to their peak. And having a smaller number where they've got space, they've got distance, and that's why I like these the poles, the podiums that the trees go onto, because one, they look fantastic, but secondly, that nothing can go near them. There's unless you put the pole in a place where it's going to be impacted by a fence or brick wall or something like that. Pretty much, if they're in the open, they're going to get lots of good sunlight and lots of air movement. And when you compare trees that grow on podiums to trees that grow on benches, the ones on the podiums seem to do so much better. And it's because, one, I think your focus on them is entirely different to something that's on a bench. You might give them an extra 10 seconds every time that you're watering them, or when you're out there feeding them or spraying them or something like that, because you're looking at them because they're a showpiece in your yard. Whereas when they're on a bench, maybe they're not as good in your own eyes, or don't have the potential or whatever. But, so they get impacted with a lot of things, but airflow is definitely one of them. And I think while we're talking about air too, the soil mix that you use needs to provide the soil air that your roots are going to need to develop and survive as well. Putting them into a compacted organic soil mix will not give you fine, delicate roots that you need to support a highly ramified, structured tree. Putting them into a porous mix composed of, things like pumice and scoria will give you the root structure that you need to grow and support and maintain a really healthy tree. The cavities, just the air pockets, the spaces in between the particles is really going to help your those roots survive too and thrive. So I think that when you're looking at your trees and you're positioning your trees, it's not just sun that you've got to consider, it's also the airflow around the trees that's got to be taken into consideration as well. So, now, we're going to talk about something which I'm certain everybody, every single person involved in Bonsai has been through, and I'm certain that everyone in Bonsai will go through again, regardless of who you are, whether you're the most elite or the most amateur, it makes no difference. It's a Bonsai setback. It's when something goes wrong with one of your trees for whatever reason, and it takes a massive chunk backwards. You know, a pot gets blown off a podium and smashes major branches. You know, a branch falls off a tree, takes out the apex of a tree. Whatever it is, no matter how minor or how major, it's a setback to that tree. And I think that when those things happen, you can be upset about it. You can be really annoyed. You can be upset. But you've got to move on. You've just got to go forward. You've got to keep heading in the right direction, regardless of the setbacks. There's no point taking a tree that was something that you cherished, and because it's dropped some part of it, and putting it into the fire tip and getting rid of it. I think that, yeah, sure, it might be years, but as I said before, the seasons go pretty fast. So, you know, turning your back on something because you've had a setback, I don't think it's the right approach. I think it's more a matter that you change your focus, you draw a breath, you come up with a new strategy for it and make it something to achieve, make it something to target. There's definitely going to be positives on that tree that's had the setback that will spark your interest again. You just need to find what they are. You need to stop focusing on what's not there and focus on what's there and work out how you can take that tree to be even better than what it was. You know, look at the setback as an opportunity to improve, to make it better, you know, to make it something that possibly you didn't have, you know, have the gall to do before, that you can go, well, you know what, I'm sort of glad it's gone. Let's go forward. Let's change the structure of the tree. You know, maybe it's the tree had a very full apex and you looked at it and went, yeah, it's really broad, but it's grown for 20 years like that. And I've pruned it every year and it's great. I love it. It's beautiful. But then half of it's gone. It's like, okay, cool. Now I can go to something with a smaller apex. You know, it's a chance to restructure the tree and make it look very different. So, you know, when your partner comes out and says, yeah, I haven't seen that tree in the yard before. How much does that cost? You can go, no, that one's legit. I haven't snuck that one in to the collection. That one's one that had a setback, but I've improved it. I've made it a better tree and be proud of what you've done. You know, my wife and I, we have a very, very strict rule with each other. I don't question what gets purchased inside the house, and she doesn't get to question what gets purchased outside the house. It works quite well for both of us, and it's something we're going to carry forward with as well. But yeah, so don't be discouraged by setbacks. Just keep moving in the right direction, and make sure that you've got a plan for it. You don't worry about how long things are going to take, and just let the seasons tick by. But make sure that what you're doing at the right time is the right thing for the plan that you want to achieve. Okay, so now what's on the bench? All right, what's on the bench this time is a Chinese elm. They're quite common in Australia. I think that they're sort of underrated at the top end, where a lot of people see them as a beginner's tree, and they're fantastic for beginners because they are so forgiving. They honestly, you know, the amount that they can go through and still come back, you know, not get repotted for 10 years, be living in a dust bowl with about 3 roots, a lot of dieback up the top, still push a few new roots, take them out, repot them. 6 months later, you wouldn't recognize the growth on the tree because it just keeps bouncing back. So they go through summer, you know, go away for a long weekend, they get flogged, all the leaves shrivel up, you come back, you panic, soak it in a bath of sea salt. Three weeks later, you're looking at all these new sprouts coming all over the tree, and it's coming back. So I think that they are one, yes, an awesome tree for beginners, but they're also an awesome tree that can stay with you on your journey through Bonsai. You can take one and develop it really, really nicely and really well, and not, you know, don't have in the back of your mind that it's going to be a tree that will move on at some stage. Just look at it as a tree that's going to be with you forever. Just because, you know, they they aren't highly sought after. It doesn't mean that they can't be great bonsai. The bark they develop on them as they get older is amazing. There's so many different varieties, you know, corky bark, you know, you get them with the flaky bark, and when that bark starts to flake and they get the beautiful orangey, you know, colours underneath as well, they stand out amazingly. And, you know, you'll find that some of them get autumn colour, some of them hold their leaves through. They develop really fine ramification as well when they're well maintained. There's a lot to them that I really like, and you know, I did start early days with Chinese elms, and I've still got them now. And you know, I think back to, you know, 15 years ago when I had one particular tree, what it looked like when I got it. You know, back then my bonsai was very different to what it is now. And at that time when I got it, I thought, that's an incredible tree, that's amazing. But I look at it now, all these years later, and I think, that's a spectacular tree. And every year it just seems to get better. And, you know, they take cut back very well. You know, the branches, you know, you want to run a sacrifice branch from them to thicken it up. They can do all that sort of stuff as well. Wiring, yep, no problems at all. They can get through winter. I did find early days that I was focusing on dieback from winter, looking at it going, well, that's just what the tree does. That's how it copes. That's normal, but it's not. It's going back, it's the roots. You know, as you learn things in bonsai, you learn to focus far more heavily on the roots than what you do on structure. And it was the potting mix that I was using didn't support solid root structure, so therefore the branch structure was balanced. You know, what happens above the pot happens below the pot. So if the roots weren't there, then it couldn't support the structure, so therefore winter would be the catalyst for them to die. And now I don't get that dieback on the branches. You know, when the tree's been repotted into good mix and it's a strong, healthy tree and I've done everything that I should do, I personally very rarely find that I have to do a lot of winter protection for the Chinese elms. You may need to depending on where you are and what stage the tree's at, but for me they don't get tucked away into a greenhouse or put under any fine shelter, and I don't have to worry about dieback on the branches as well. And they age, you know, that of all the bonsais that I've got in my yard, when you stop and give it the respect that it deserves, they age beautifully. They age really, really nicely. So, yeah, I think that Chinese elm, they can go into a variety of different pots, you know, depending on the style of the tree, whether it's a more rugged pot or whether it's something, you know, classical. I have them in both, and I think that they suit them very well. So I'd be thinking that Chinese elm should be one of those ones that you don't just look at a transition phase when you're first starting bonsai, but something that really sticks with you that can develop and can show as your skills develop. The Chinese elm can reflect that very accurately of all the trees that you have in your collection. So, yep, I reckon they're a great one for anybody. All right, so we've come to the end of another podcast. It's been great. Been very busy time, as I said, for you. Another busy time about to come in as well. But stay positive. Keep the bonsais in your life as the ultimate grounding and the thing that helps us get through some times which are probably not the most pleasant around the world. And there's, you know, don't turn the news on because it's only going to ever lead you to one end result, which is not always the most positive. But you know, bonsai is always there for us, and we're there for each other too. You know, the bonsai community is fantastic. You know, we've all got a common interest, no matter what our background, what we do. But we've always got that same love and passion for little trees in nice, pretty pots. And it's, you know, when you think about it, it's amazing that we're drawn to it. But we are drawn to it, and it's something that once it gets into your bloodstream, you're not going to get rid of it. So do the best you possibly can with what you've got, and enjoy your time every second, because as I said, seasons fly past. It might not feel like it when you first start, but sooner or later they do start flying past. So take care, look after yourself. I did have a conversation with a mate of mine recently, and we were talking about the correct number of bonsai to have in your collection. And he said there's a formula for it that we should all live to. And I said, okay, what's the formula? And he said it's N plus 1, where N is the current number of bonsai that you have. So he's always increasing his collection, always getting one more tree, one more tree, one more tree. So, yeah, good luck with that. Always have what you can manage and put 100% into. If you start feeling like you're only putting in 80%, maybe it's time to downsize a little bit. But make sure that you enjoy it regardless and enjoy the seasons and take care. And it's been great. I'll catch you next time on the podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. As always, please stay in touch. Email scott@bonzomatsu.com or via Instagram or via Facebook, via the website bonzomatsu.com. I'm always on the other end, and I love hearing from you, and I truly appreciate it. And thanks very much. Happy bonsai.